And now it's time for The Barber Shop. That's where we get together with a group of interesting people to talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Joining us for a Shape Up this week is Lovey Ajayi. She's the writer behind the Awesomely Lovey blog and the author of the New York Times bestseller, I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual. She's with us from Chicago. Welcome back, Lovey. Hi. I think she's there from Chicago. Well, let's hope she'll join us. Kara Brown is a writer for the online magazine Jezebel. She's with us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Kara, good to have you.
Happy to be here.
And last but not least, from St. Petersburg, Florida, NPR's very own TV critic Eric Dagans. Eric, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Yeah, happy to join this cross-country experiment.
I know, right? Exactly. Always exciting. So you might be wondering why we brought you all together. And with all the news about politics and national security, we know that it's been nonstop. But, you know, we were thinking this weekend marks the unofficial start of summer. So why not try to take a few minutes to think about the entertainment offerings that are coming up this summer? You know, music, movies, television. And we know that politics is never far away, but we're going to try it. I do want to mention we are going to take a few minutes to remember Greg Allman, the rocker, one of the founders of the Allman Brothers Band, who died today at 69. We're going to have that coming up a little later in the program. And I also want to note that I know there is a shadow over the beginning of summer festivities after the suicide bomb attack last week in Manchester, England, at an Ariana Grande concert that killed 22 people and injured many dozen more. And a number of you, I know Eric, you certainly do, I know Lovey, you do, a lot of public events, readings, and festivals. And I find myself asking if this makes you hesitate. Lovey, are you back with us? Are you with us? Can you hear us? Nope. All right. No, Lovey. Sorry, Lovey. We'll miss you next time. Eric, what about you? I mean, I know you do a lot of readings. You're an author. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Does it make you hesitate a little bit?
No, it doesn't. We've had a great story on the NPR with folks saying that they can't let themselves in Manchester, saying that they can't let their lives be changed by this terrorism, and that they have to live life the way they want to. And of course you want to take all precautions that make sense. But in the end, the goal of terrorism is to get you to check yourself, to get you to live in fear. And so the way you overcome that is to refuse to do that. And so as long as I'm at places that have adequate security, and I've always had that, I'm going to live my life the way I need to live it and try not to let this limit me.
All right. Well, then taking that advice, let's jump into one of the first big summer movies we've been hearing about, Wonder Woman. It opens around the country this Thursday. It stars Israeli actress Gal Gadot in the title role. It's being celebrated as an overdue counterpoint to the male-dominated superhero genre. Kara, you know I want to start with you on this because Jezebel's been writing a lot about it. Tell us what you think about it.
I'm excited, although I do want everyone to remember that Halle Berry did star in a Catwoman movie.
That's right.
So we have had a female superhero movie before. I'm cautiously optimistic. I honestly haven't been really into the genre in a while, largely I think because it's only been white men starring in all of the films. So I'm willing to give it a shot, and I'm definitely one of those people where I'll buy the ticket if nothing else, if it's someone I want to support, and this is definitely something I want to support because money talks.
Well, you know, Jezebel's been writing a lot about this whole question of whether the girl power aspect of it is something that even, you know, the artists involved in it want to embrace. You know, noting that there's a Texas theater that is having an all-women screening and that there was this backlash against it. I mean, first of all, the screening apparently sold out in, you know, minutes. And so people are clamoring for another one. On the other hand, they're getting a lot of negative pushback saying that that's, you know, it's not fair and all the other things. You know, I don't know. Eric, can I ask you this? Do you feel alienated by the all women screening?
If I could go to a Wonder Woman screening with all women and me, I would totally do that. Man, I don't want to be around, you know, noisy, smelly guys watching this thing. No, I can totally understand the idea of creating a woman only space so that women can experience this movie and talk about it without having guys there with our testosterone getting in the way. And I think that's great. Right. I mean, there's going to be so many venues and places where you'll be able to see this movie. Why not let women have a space where they can see it without sort of the patriarchy intruding?
Okay.
I'm really excited for this movie. This is going to be the first tentpole superhero movie directed by a woman. It's going to be the first one that is going to be considered to be of any quality, starring a woman. And when I look at the Marvel series that were on Netflix, for example, I've always felt the best one was Jessica Jones, because it was about so much more than her activities as a superhero, if you will. And so I'm hoping that that's what we'll get with Wonder Woman. And the bar is so low for these DC movies. I mean, Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman were, roundly criticized, very rightly. So this movie doesn't have to be great to be the best DC superhero movie that we have in recent years, and I'm betting it will be.
Yeah, Kara, what do you think? Final thought on that. What do you think about it? I mean, do you feel that it's always interesting to sort of see this dance about the people connected to the movie, or whether they say, yes, it is a girl power opportunity, or no, it's not. It's for everybody. Well, you know, of course everybody wants everybody to go see it, but what do you think about that?
You know, I think the star of the film, she was asked recently if she is a feminist or if the film is feminist, and she actually gave like a better response than you usually hear entertainers give to that question. I feel like, of course, that was going to get tacked onto this film, and you know, a woman saving the world or whatever, saving whoever she is in the film, like, I guess it's very easy to spin that as a feminist thing or a girl power thing, but I just hope that like more women get to go in, or girls who haven't watched a lot of superheroes or don't really, you know, read a lot of comics because there aren't very many women in them. Like, it's nice to just see a woman doing cool things, because we don't get to see that often.
All right, so let's switch over to late night. Eric, because we got a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. It's been getting so much attention for being more political than many can remember. You know, Jimmy Fallon. What was so fascinating is that, you know, Jimmy Fallon has been criticized actually for being too soft, you know, after being sort of riding on the top of the ratings for, you know, so long, for kind of just, you know, playing games with people. And now all of a sudden people are saying that's not what we're looking for. I mean, Stephen Colbert has doubled down on his political humor, and that seems to have propelled his show to a surge in the ratings, even closing this longtime gap with The Tonight Show. And all right, so, and then, you know, and then Jimmy Kimmel causing a stir, talking about to healthcare, you know, of all things. And so since, Eric, this is your wheelhouse, is this a big change? Is there something important going on here in television that we should talk about in this area that traditionally has not really been very political?
Yeah, this is kind of a big change, because The Tonight Show has generally been the ratings leader in late night. We had a little bit of a hiccup in 2010 when Conan O'Brien was installed and Jay Leno was forced out, and that didn't last long, and Leno came back. But for the most part, The Tonight Show has been the most watched late night show since the mid-90s, and that has changed in the last few months, because Stephen Colbert has found his voice and he's articulating something that viewers are flocking to. I don't think it's just that he's criticizing Trump. I think it's that he is talking about politics consistently in a funny way. He's deconstructing it, and he's also letting people laugh at it a little bit, even though they may be horrified about it. And I've always said these late night hosts excel when they really channel the feelings of their audience. And Fallon's problem isn't that he's not tough on Trump. It's that he is not connected to his audience. He's not channeling what they want to talk about or what they're feeling about this particular moment in history. And so people are flocking to Colbert. And unless Fallon figures out a way to reconnect, because they don't want to while away the hours, you know, watching people play games. They're really concerned about what's happening in government, and Colbert is talking about it.
Lovey Weir, I'm told we have you finally with us. Do you want to weigh in on this? Is TV hitting its stride, or is it too strident? What do you think?
I was actually talking, you guys didn't hear me, but I'm glad to be here.
Okay.
I think it's really important for late night to go with what is important to everybody else, because you can't ignore politics right now if you're on television. Even if you're not like, I can't get political, you don't have a choice, because everybody's getting political. So I think it's really important for late night to step it up and give people what they want in terms of a place for them to decompress and be the water cooler to talk about the shenanigans of the day that happened in politics.
Is anybody else, Lovey, since we didn't get a chance to really visit with you for long, is anybody else on television right now kind of hitting that sweet spot for you?
For me right now, besides The Daily Show and Trevor Noah is the only one, but I think television is missing a very strong Black female voice. But in terms of voices that are doing great things, though, Samantha Bee is doing really well for me.
Okay, Kara, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a big Samantha Bee fan. And it's funny, I had this conversation with my dad recently because he was comparing what we're seeing in Late Night, and he felt like it was really similar to when Bill Clinton was being impeached. And it sort of seems like, when is the last time we've had this much political chaos? Like, this feels like the world is on fire every single day, at least to me. And he's like, you know, I remember there were, you know, Jay Leno and all the people, they were talking about this all the time. So it sort of seems like we haven't had quite as much going on maybe since then, and that's what we're seeing now.
Okay, before we let each of you go, and sorry for all the technical difficulties here, there's so much to see this summer. Everybody just give me one must-see, one thing you're really looking forward to. Lovey, what about you?
I've already seen it, but I was looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
So good.
Okay. Kara, what about you?
I'm about to buckle in and stay committed to The Bachelorette for the summer now that we have the first Black Bachelorette, and I'm gonna try to last until August.
Okay. Eric, what about you?
There's a true crime series called The Keepers on Netflix about this nun that disappeared and was later found murdered in 1969. And it leads to uncovering this incredible ring of sexual assault of kids at a high school in the 60s that is now being uncovered in the present day. It's their modern Making a Murderer. It's really interesting.
All right. That's TV critic Eric Deggans joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Kara Brown, writer for Jezebel, with us from NPR West and Culver City. And Levi Ajayi, blogger and New York Times bestseller, joining us from Chicago. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.